If you would turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 67 if you've got your Bibles with you. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pews or in the chair backs, the chair bottoms in front of you. And if you happen to have it on an electronic device, I can tell if you're playing Candy Crush or reading your Bible. So, love to have you use the technology that we have, but solitaire isn't a good option, Roger. He laughs the hardest, so he gets picked on. Would you stand with me this morning as we read from Luke? Luke's Gospel, Luke records this about the birth of John the Baptist. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercies to our ancestors and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare a way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace." Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You love us enough that You sent Your Son. But we thank You also that You sent those before Him who could prepare the hearts of Your people to hear that message. We thank You for the message that You have proclaimed to all peoples. Lord, this morning as we come to Your Word, I ask that our hearts would be attuned to You, that Your Spirit would guide our hearts to hear, and that You would motivate us to serve and to seek You more and more. It's in God's gracious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember 19 years ago, well, not quite, it's a few days short, but I remember 19 years ago very well. I remember the day when Brenna gave birth to Logan, and we were in the hospital there, a little hospital, and you know, they probably had 14 or 15 children born a year, and Logan was one of those that particular year, and I remember standing in the delivery room with with Brenna as she was giving birth to Logan, and as soon as Logan was born, they did their normal things there at the hospital. They made sure that he was okay, and then they started focusing on Brenna, and as they finished taking care of Logan, they handed him to me so that I could hold him for that period of time. And as I was standing there, I remember I walked over. There was a little alcove in the delivery room, and there was a window there, and I walked over into that little area as I was holding him in my hands and laying on my arm. Those of you who know him know how hard that seems. You know, if you've had children grow up, you remember when they fit there, and then they tower over you and look down at you. But I was holding Logan and looking at him, and I remember there were several things I told him. I remember telling him in that moment, "Your name is Logan Josiah Woolery, and let me just spell it for you because you're going to have to do it for the rest of your life. It's W-O-O-L-E-R-Y, because people won't get it right." And then I said, "And I want you to know that your mom and I love you." And then I started singing "Jesus Loves You" to him. And in that moment, you know, Brenna and I had waited for 9 months for this little bundle of joy to be born. And we waited and waited, and finally the day came, and I got this privilege of speaking these words of love and affirmation to this little baby. And as I was thinking about this section of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, as I was thinking about this season when we come to the birth of the Savior, I thought about Zechariah. And here is Zechariah. He was a priest in the temple, and it was his privilege one day to go into into the inner part of the temple and to offer the sacrifices for the people. And so he's in there doing that, and he gets this visitor that tells him that he will, well, that his wife, who is past the normal age of bearing children, that his wife will become pregnant and that they will have a son. And Zechariah questions this, and the angel says, well, here is your sign, Zechariah. You won't speak until this child is born. And so here is Zechariah. For 9 months he has been a mute, and he hasn't been able to speak to anyone. And not only that, it's been 400 years since the last of the prophets have spoken to the people of Israel. And here is Zechariah. He is filled with the Holy Spirit, Luke says, and on the day that his son is born, he prophesies. He doesn't get to say some great things to his son. He doesn't get to encourage his son first and foremost, but he prophesies something else. There is a message that God has been waiting for 400 years to verbalize. There is a message that God's people have been waiting for generations to hear, and Zechariah is privileged to speak this message. Yes, a message over his son, but the message isn't about John. And I just want us to look at this message this morning, and I want us to consider this message that was so important that God made a man mute and then let him speak these as his first words after 9 months. The first part of this message that Zechariah speaks is a message of salvation. It's a message of salvation. And when we come to the season of Christmas, if we don't know that the birth of Jesus is first and foremost a message of salvation, we don't know what Christmas is about. And John's father, Zechariah, is going to speak this message of salvation, and he looks to the hope of the people of Israel. He looks back, and he remembers that God had promised that there would be one who would sit on David's throne. That he would sit on David's throne and he would rule, and through the prophet Isaiah, that he would rule with an iron scepter, that he would lead his people. He would be called the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. And Zechariah looks at this prophecy, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he talks about the fact that God has made this promise, and now he is about to fulfill the promise to the people of Israel. And he looks to their prophets, and he looks to their psalms, and he looks to the things that, well, he, after all, is a priest, and he was well-versed in the Scriptures. I mean, all of the people of Israel were well-versed in the Scriptures, but the priests were expected to be even more well-versed and be more prepared and be ready to share that message. And here is Zechariah looking back, and if you look at this passage of Scripture, he goes over and over and over again to the Old Testament, to their Scriptures, to the Law, to the Prophets, and to the Psalms. And he brings them all back together in little pieces. And he talks about the salvation that was to come. Now, Zechariah may not have understood what he was saying. You know, he was living in a day when the people expected that the Messiah would come and he would overthrow the Roman government, that he would come and he would lead this rebellion, this revolution, and that he would bring peace, yes, but the peace would come because there were no longer this foreign government ruling over them, and they were now free to worship. Well, he talks about being free to worship God as they choose and without fear. And so they thought that the Roman government would be overthrown, that there a king would be set up on David's throne there in Jerusalem, and the temple would be the place of worship, and the king would be the person to lead them and to protect them and to provide safety and peace for them for generations, for all generations to come. And so Zechariah is looking for this, and he remembers the promises to Abraham as well, the promises that he would rescue them from the hands of their enemies. And Zechariah is looking forward to that day. But we can look back on this and we can say we know what Zechariah was speaking about, and it wasn't necessarily the restoration of Israel. It was the promise that the greater need of salvation would be met. The fact that as Paul says, that we are all sinners, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and because of that, we need somebody to rescue us. We know that the enemies that Zechariah was speaking about weren't the Roman soldiers. They weren't the Roman government. They weren't some other government that would come in and destroy the Romans first. But rather, the enemies that he was speaking of were sin. The enemy of sin that plagues us all. We all deal with this desire within us to please ourselves and to seek our own motivations and to seek our own good. But primarily, our purpose is not for our own good. It's to worship God and to serve Him first and foremost. And when we put anything in front of our worship of God, it's called sin. And Zechariah was prophesying the fact that Jesus would come and Jesus would deal with the sin in this world. One of our great enemies is sin. Another one of our great enemies that Jesus dealt with was fear. How many of us deal with fear on a regular basis? We look at the world around us. We look at the situations that we're in. And Satan uses this tactic to say, you can't handle that. You can't deal with that. You can't overcome that. That is going to be your undoing. And Satan brings these thoughts to our minds and he lets them come before us over and over again. And he uses fear. But John writes and he says, perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus came, and one of the enemies that Jesus dealt with was Jesus being pure, perfect love. Jesus dealt with our need to fear. And it doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have real things, that we don't understand how they're going to be accomplished. And we don't wonder, and we don't try to figure out how to get through things. But because we know Jesus has overcome, we know that God is in control, and we can, without fear, face all situations knowing that Jesus has taken care of it. And so He's taken care of fear. And one of the other enemies that the Scripture says that Jesus has dealt with, and that is death. Jesus has overcome death. And so when Zechariah says that this Messiah is going to come and He is going to defeat our enemies, the greatest enemy that He defeats is death. Because as followers of Christ, we do not have to fear death itself. If we have died spiritually to ourselves and been raised with Him in the waters of baptism, we don't have to fear the physical death that comes, because the power of the physical death is the spiritual death that comes along with it. If we have died spiritually to ourselves and been raised to walk in a newness of life with Christ, when we die in this life, we have a glorious reunion with our Lord and Savior waiting on the other side of death's door. And death no longer has any power. Death no longer has any control over our lives. And we don't have to deal with death the same way. And so Zechariah, though he may not understand fully, you know, we know that the prophets of old, they looked into the things. They looked to the things that they said, and they didn't fully understand them, Scripture says. But we as followers of Christ on the other side of the cross, we can see what they were speaking of, and we have the joy of the promises that they gave. And Zechariah is one of those who probably didn't understand all of what he was saying about salvation. But the message is the same for us, that Jesus Christ has overcome and He is our Savior. The second thing that Zechariah does as he talks about this prophecy is he talks about the prophets. He talks about the prophets. And there are two groups of prophets that he speaks about. One, he speaks about the prophets that had come before. He looks back to history and he talks about men like Moses, who is looked to as the first prophet of the people of Israel. In fact, Moses says that God would raise up a prophet like him. And we know from looking back that prophet that Moses was speaking about was Jesus. But Zechariah is looking back through the scope of Israelite history, and he looks to those great men, and he looks to the prophets, and he talks about them, and one of them is Moses. Another one that he would have been speaking of clearly would have been the prophet Elijah. Anytime that the Israelites spoke about the prophets, Elijah was one. Elijah was that great prophet. In fact, Elijah is the one that they were looking forward to, the coming of Elijah. That Elijah would come before the Messiah, and that he would return the hearts of the people to their fathers. That he would turn people back to God. And so he's surely looking to that as he speaks about this, and he talks about what's going to take place in the life of his son John. I'm sure he would have been speaking about prophets like Jeremiah, who foresaw the coming of the Messiah, or Isaiah who speaks. In fact, sometimes people refer to Isaiah as the fifth gospel because he speaks so clearly in some places about the coming of the Messiah. Or maybe he was looking to the later prophets, and maybe he was looking backwards to the prophet Micah. In fact, several of the things that come in this passage of Scripture are either quotes or allusions to the prophet Micah, the last of the prophets to speak before God goes silent for nearly 400 years. And Zechariah gets to break that silence. But he's looking backwards to the prophets, and he's remembering the things that they have said, and he's reminding the people who would have heard him in the temple this day as they are dedicating their son to the covenant, as they are naming their son. And he looks to those prophets, but then he looks to his son and says, "You will be the prophet. You will be the one who goes before the Lord. You will be the Elijah who is to come. You are the one who is going to go out and prepare the hearts of the people and turn them back to their fathers before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. You are the one who will encourage people to be prepared for the message that God is sending through His Son." And we know that that's what John did. John goes out into the wilderness and he prepares the people for the coming of the Messiah. He tells them to repent and to live lives worthy of their repentance. And he tells them that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand, and he prepares them for the coming of the Messiah. And many people listen to his message. And John goes out as this prophet who is coming before the great prophet, the Messiah himself. And Zechariah speaks about the coming of the Lord as well. But then as I read this and I think about this, Zechariah is talking about you and he's talking about me. He's talking about us, and he's talking about the fact that we have a similar message to share. We have a prophetic message that we are to share with the world around us. You see, the prophets had this purpose. It was to go to the people of God and to call them back to live the way that God had called them to live. And part of why we do what we do is because we have a prophetic ministry to encourage and strengthen one another, to use the Word of God to help each other live the way that God called us to live. And so Zechariah is speaking as much about us in the future being the prophets who will prepare the way for the Lord, not for His first coming, but for His second coming. To call the church, to call one another to live the pure and holy lives that God has called us to. To call one another to be prepared for the day when Jesus will return so that we can be a pure and spotless bride prepared for the Lord and awaiting His coming. Yes, we have a prophetic message that we are supposed to speak to one another. Sometimes the prophets took the message to other people, the people who weren't God's people. They had oracles that they spoke concerning the other nations. Men like Jonah went to foreign countries and they preached the message of God. And there we go back to the message of salvation, and we as a body of Christ are to be prophets to the world, taking the message of salvation, the message of hope, the message of peace, the message of joy to the world around us that's lost and dying and going to hell without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And what a better time for us to do that than at the time of Christmas, when we remember the words of men like Zechariah who spoke about the coming of the Lord. Because guess what? He is returning, and we have a second advent that we're looking forward to, and we can tell people that Jesus is coming again. This time not as a baby, but as a conquering king riding on a white horse. This time not coming to bring peace, but to bring justice. This time not coming to offer salvation, but to bring judgment. And people need to be ready. And we are called to be the prophets of God. And as the prophets of God, sometimes we have to be like the last thing that Zechariah looks at, and that is that we have to be the light unto the Gentiles. We have to be the light unto the Gentiles. You see, for you and me, every one of us sitting here, that is good news. That is great news for those of us that are sitting here this morning. Unless, of course, you happen to be of Jewish nationality, you had better be glad that the light went to the Gentiles. And Isaiah says that this light is going to shine on people who are walking in the darkness. And he goes back to the prophets, and he goes back to the prophecies that have been given before, and he takes the Israelites, the Jews, he takes them back to their own scriptures and to the prophecies. One of those is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, and actually the prophet there is God himself speaking to Abraham, and he says to Abraham, all of the nations will be blessed through your seed. All the nations of the world, God says to Abraham, will be blessed through your seed. Prophetically, God is pointing forward to the time when Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, the one seed of Abraham, would come and he would bless all the nations. That the gospel message, the hope of that Zechariah has already spoken of, the hope of salvation, the message of the prophets of things to come, all of that is going to go out into the Gentiles, and all of the nations would be blessed. All of the nations would have the offer of salvation given to them. And so you and I, we sit here as the nations that have been blessed through the seed of Abraham. Or maybe it's prophecies like Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, where the prophet Isaiah is speaking hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Speaking about Jerusalem and people coming to Jerusalem, kings and nations, speaking about the Messiah rising from Jerusalem. And so the light rises from there, but it rises for all peoples, not just the Jews, but to all people. Or again, earlier in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, nevertheless, there will be no gloom for those days, or for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, by the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as the people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when they divide the plunder. You see, the nations rejoice not because something great happened to national Israel, but because God sent His Son, who was born as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That this child grew up and lived a perfect, sinless life, that as a perfect, sinless person, He was able to hang on the cross and pay the price for your sins and my sins. He died on the cross, and then He rose on the third day to show that He had power over death. We no longer have to fear sin because Jesus dealt with it on the cross. We no longer have to fear death because Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, where He sits at God's mighty right hand. And we don't have to fear the day-to-day things of life because He provides as the King who is seated at God's right hand, ruling over all creation. You see, Zechariah speaks about salvation, and then he speaks about the light to the Gentiles, and that is good news for you and for me because we are those Gentiles. And we have that same message that we are supposed to turn around and to share with the people. I like what John Golden Gay says in his book After Eating the Apricot, speaking about these things, and he says, well, I want to read verse 13 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John.'" John Golden Gay says this. He says, "When you hear the words from God, 'Do not be afraid,' you know that something is about to happen. Either you have to take the message of salvation to the world, or you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And you should be afraid." Now, for all of us here this morning, we cannot give birth to the Messiah because Mary did that 2,000 years ago. So guess which one falls upon us? We have to take the message of salvation to the world. Do not be afraid. Told the shepherds, "For I bring good news of great joy that shall be for all people upon whose God's favor rests." Good news of peace to those who will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. After 400 years, Zechariah didn't speak that much about his son. The message of prophecy that he says, it doesn't focus on his son. It focuses rather on the promise of God to all people that the Messiah is coming. He speaks of the part that his son will play. His son will prepare the way. But someone else will bring salvation, and someone else will be the Messiah. And that person is Jesus Christ. And as we come this season and as we celebrate that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, we have to remember that that Son at the end of His life said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age." He's saying, "Do not fear, for I am with you." You see, we have a message to proclaim, and there is no greater time to proclaim the message of salvation than as we proclaim and we live out the birth of Jesus Christ. For the next few weeks, everybody's attention in our nation is going to be focused on one day. We focus our attention on the 25th of December, the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. You know what that means is that there are a lot of people who do not believe the hope of salvation, who will hear the story, who will listen to you tell the story if you're not afraid. Who will listen to you proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ was God incarnate, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, that Jesus Christ is God's love story to you and to me, and that because of Jesus Christ, we have a hope of a future coming King who's going to set up a kingdom that we cannot understand for eternity. and we will be at peace. The Prince of Peace will finally bring the peace that we all need when He comes again. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And I would invite you to come and visit with me about what that means, or if you know what that means and you're ready to make that commitment this morning, we'd love to celebrate that with you. And so just if you need to come this morning as we sing this hymn of invitation. If you want to catch me afterwards and visit for a few minutes, I will try to do that as well. If you just want somebody to pray with you this morning, something's going on in your life that you want somebody to pray with, you can find me or you can find one of the elders, and we'd be glad to step aside where we can do that privately with you this morning as well. If you just want to come for prayer from the body as well, let's stand together as we sing this morning.